Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a great show coming up for you here over the next couple of hours. Next hour, one thing I want to do, I got a great note from one of our listeners and one of our radio affiliates, KATQ Radio in Plentywood. Greg Simon reached out. He says, hey, Aaron, are you going to focus on the pro-gun rights stuff and the pro-gun stuff that's included in the One Big Beautiful Bill? And I've touched on it a little bit, but he's right. We should talk a lot more about that one. So I said, Greg, why don't you call into the show? So we'll get to that and much more, plus another big one calling out the fake news media in Montana coming up 1 hour from now. But let's jump right into it. Pleased to have Montana's United States Senator Tim Sheehy with us live on the phone lines right now. Senator, great to have you on the program. I heard you on Fox News the other day while I was driving back from Big Sky. Good to have you on right now.
Thanks, Aaron. Great to be on. You know, obviously, it's a historic time in America right now. We're getting a lot done with this administration, pedal to the metal, and House having the House and the Senate. It's historic. We are literally trying to redirect America back towards prosperity, common sense, and strength, and we're doing that every day.
I know we got a couple of quick minutes here before we get to our first break, and then we'll talk more after that. But One Big Beautiful Bill, will you be able to get the job done before the 4th of July deadline? The 4th of July is already next week.
I think so. You know, the conference is united, and the president is united with Leader Thune and Speaker Johnson. All three of them are leading their respective teams to make sure we get this legislation passed. This will avoid the largest tax increase in human history. Because if we don't pass this bill, taxes go up on all Americans, most importantly, working-class Americans. So this is a historic bill for Americans of all income, all races, colors, and creeds. It also is a priority. It prioritizes conservative priorities like bringing common sense back to government. We've been working hard to make sure that we are not allowing legal immigrants to take advantage of our entitlement programs that many of our citizens have spent their entire lives paying into, making sure that able-bodied adults who can work should work. But most importantly, as I said, it's avoiding the largest tax increase in the history of mankind, and we don't have to talk about the economic impacts of what that would be if it happened.
Some of the worst taxes in the state of Montana are paid by Missoula residents. That's why I was not surprised at all to see that the Missoula City Council voted against the One Big Beautiful Bill, as if anybody cares what the Missoula City Council has to say about this stuff, right?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of these local government resolutions that we've seen these past 2 years, you know, condemning Israel for defending themselves against Hamas terrorists and, you know, condemning President Trump for securing our border. You know, if these elected officials actually just focused on their communities and making their communities bring housing costs down, making living more affordable in their cities and towns and counties, I think they'd be much more effective.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. Montana's U.S. Senator and Navy SEAL veteran, and I should add aerial firefighter Tim Sheehy with us on the phone lines. Got to get his reaction to the repeal of this roadless initiative and what that means for our ability to fight fires. Speaking of fighting fires, as a freshman senator, he's already gotten a bill signed into law. So that and more, plus his take on the Israel-Iran situation right after this, right here with Montana Talks.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies today and a few isolated afternoon storms possible, high temperatures will range from 83 in Bozeman to about 90 in the Billings area. For tonight, isolated shower storm chance early, followed by low temperature readings back into the lower 50s in Bozeman to the upper 50s in Billings. Friday, sunshine, a few isolated storms possible as highs climb through the 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
It's June 26th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is World Refrigeration Day, billed as the coolest day of the year. First launched on this day in 2019, the goal to raise the profile of the refrigeration, air conditioning, and the heat pump sector and the role it plays in our everyday lives. Also on this day in 2015, a landmark decision by the U.S. Supreme Court legalizes same-sex marriage. The court rules that same-sex marriages cannot be banned in the United States, and all same-sex marriages must be recognized nationwide, granting same-sex couples equal rights to heterosexual couples under the law. Designer Liz Claiborne died at the age of 78. Her company was the first founded by a woman to enter the rankings of the Fortune 500. In 1990, it was the largest women's apparel maker in the country with $1.4 billion in sales. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I was joking with Senator Tim Sheehy. All the cool kids were at Montana Coffee on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. yesterday. I was chatting with Senator Steve Daines, and yeah, my wife Jessica was at Montana Coffee yesterday, got to see everybody. And then I saw these great women warriors, Dallas Knight, an Iraq Army veteran from here in Montana. She was back there at Montana Coffee. So was Dawn Longy, who is with Concerned Veterans for America. She's a great military spouse. So lots of warriors in the house. You know, Senator Sheehy, I was thinking about this yesterday morning when it comes to this Israel-Iran situation and how Iran started this war against the United States 46 years ago. That's longer than I've been alive. That's longer than you've been alive. But now, thanks to young veterans like you standing with President Trump, you're working to end this war. Your thoughts?
46 years ago, you know, Iran started hostilities with us by taking Americans hostages, hundreds of American servicemen, civilians, diplomats for over a year and a half. They proceeded then to murder 243 Marines in the 1983 Beirut barracks bombing, which kicked off 40 years of targeted terror that, of course, as we're seeing now, hundreds of ballistic missiles a night launched at the innocent civilians of Israel. They've been launching missiles at our Navy ships on civilian vessels in the Red Sea and elsewhere. They have literally been the largest terrorist organization in the world. The IRGC, which is the military arm of this Ayatollah's murderous regime, has been a global cartel of terror. They've been dealing in death and destruction for innocent people for almost half a century. And the response from most U.S. administrations and most of the Western world has been, well, we don't want to make them mad, so let's just not be mean to them. In fact, in Barack Obama and Joe Biden's foreign policy playbook, let's send them pallets of cash. Let's pay them to not be mean to us anymore. And guess what? It's just like being a parent. You know, if all you do is reinforce bad behavior with your kids with candy and toys and rewards, they're going to keep behaving badly, and that's exactly what Iran's been doing for the last 46 years. They've crossed a lot of lines here this past year and a half. The disgusting attack on Israel on October 7, 2023 by Hamas, which is Iran functionally, crossed the line to disgusting, inhumane, absolutely just vile behavior that I think woke the world up to the fact that this regime is truly a cancer, and them having nuclear weapons is unacceptable. So I applaud the president, his courage in making this tough decision against a lot of headwinds. It was the right decision, and I'm glad we did it. I think we're going to see a big change in behavior from Iran. We already have. I mean, within a handful of days of that strike, we've seen Iran come to the table saying, we want to talk ceasefire, we want to de-escalate. That doesn't happen by paying them money. That happens by punching them in the face.
That's right. Daddy's home. As the Consul General for NATO pointed out this week with President Trump in charge, and President Trump was clear not only on the campaign trail, But going back 14-plus years, the terrorists in Tehran should never get their hands on a nuclear weapon. In fact, last week on the radio, prior to the strikes, we played the audio of your remarks at the Trump rally in Bozeman last summer, where you talked about that SOB Soleimani and when Trump took him out. And so, anyway, just does it expose Iran?
Go ahead. And your point on NATO is exactly right, because, you know, for years we've been hearing, for the last decade, we've been hearing from all the elitists and academics and Beltway, wizards here in the Atlantic and the New York Times telling us how, you know, Trump's rhetoric about NATO and the UN and our allies is terrible and he's being mean to them. Well, yet again, tough love. He wasn't being mean to them. He was being truthful with them by saying, hey, you need to carry your end of this bargain. You need to carry your weight. For too long, Western Europe has hid behind American tanks, American planes, American bombs, and most importantly, American servicemen and women who've stood on that wall, folks like Dallas Knight and you and me and my wife who stood at the wall protecting that continent so they can retire at age 50 and, you know, play golf, you know, 4 days a week and work 18-hour work weeks because they didn't have to spend money on a military-industrial complex. They didn't have to spend money on bullets and bombs and tanks because we did it for them. And you know what? We were happy to do that after the devastation of World War II. But 7 years later, it's about time they build their own defense capabilities and protect themselves. And obviously, over the last 3 years, from Ukraine to Iran to the Red Sea to the proxy groups and Houthis, Hezbollah, and Hamas, the world is not a safe place, and they better up their ante and be ready for it. And he's been telling them that way before it was cool to think that. So I think that the comments of the NATO Secretary General are exactly right. You know, daddy's home. He told us a long time ago we better change our behavior, and now we're changing our behavior. So, I think NATO countries are very grateful for the fact that we've been there for them. I value our allies. I do. I'm not an isolationist. I've served alongside our allies in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere. But at the same time, they have to carry their weight, and we have to make sure they do, and the president's doing that.
Speaking of the troops, really what we saw last weekend, I think, was finally a reckoning for the terrorists in Tehran. But we also need a reckoning in America for the BS way that our troops were treated because of those BS COVID vaccine mandates. We've got about a minute before the next break here, but you've introduced legislation to help those very service members who were targeted because of those BS vaccine mandates.
We had tens of thousands of active duty reserve and civilians in the DOD blown out of their jobs with no due process, with really no respect given for their service. Some of these were pilots. They were special operations team members, people we spent millions of dollars training. And these weren't some crazy loonies. They were simply saying, hey, you know, I have a heart issue. I understand there may be concerns with this vaccine. I'm not ready to take this thing, and I want agency over my own body. So I want a waiver. And all for doing that, they were kicked out of the military unceremoniously without due process and with complete disrespect for their service. So all we're saying is we're going to make it right for those folks. Hopefully some of them can come back into the fold. I know a lot of them have said they want to rejoin at the prior rank at MOS, and that's a separate effort going on. But this at least will say you were due pay and benefits you did not receive after serving your country in wartime.
And that's the bill, is to provide back pay. Yeah, hold that thought. We're going to talk about firefighting and more with Senator Sheehy next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Even if the imposition of the highest tariffs in almost 100 years were good economic policy, which manifestly they are not, the way in which they've been rolled out is poisonous to the global economic growth that has powered prosperity for going on three decades. At their heart, they undermine the very thing that has made America a good place to invest, and that is the predictability of our laws and institutions. The new tariffs are not a law, far from it. They're a creative interpretation of executive power in exactly the same sense as the Biden administration's multiple attempts to forgive hundreds of billions of dollars of student loan debt were. They are as unpredictable as the actions taken by another activist administration of an earlier era, FDR, during the Great Depression. And tragically, they will likely produce the same outcome, the fatal hesitation of investors and risk takers to commit to actions that ultimately spark economic growth. When policies change on a whim, it's rational to sit on your hands for a while. It's also a recipe for an economic shipwreck. I'm Patrick Buckey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Donald Trump's America.
President Donald Trump scoring a major win. All NATO countries have agreed to a massive hike in defense spending, pledging to invest 5% of their GDPs by 2035.
It's a monumental win for the United States because we were carrying much more than our fair share.
This is something Trump had been urging since his first term, and now the alliance is on board with Russia still looming as a threat to their security. Trump also met privately with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, their first sit-down since a heated Oval Office argument in February.
Couldn't have been nicer.
But overshadowing all of this was the situation in the Middle East. In a leaked U.S. intelligence report calling into question just how successful the U.S. strikes on Iran's nuclear sites were. The report claims Iran's program was only set back a few months, while the president insists it's obliterated. In Washington, Rebecca Castor, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping back into it here with Montana's United States Senator, Navy SEAL veteran, and aerial firefighter Tim Sheehy. I say the firefighter part in particular because let's jump onto that topic now if we can. So, Senator Sheehy, you know, back in the day, I was just a college kid. I started working for then Senator Conrad Burns from Montana, and my first job for Conrad, before I got into energy policy, my first job was I was like the mail manager. So I managed all the mail coming in, you know, and then eventually email started to be a thing. So I got to see everything that came into that office. And we had a stack, piles of correspondence coming into that office opposing the Clinton Roadless Initiative, which then, of course, got shoved down our throats. And when we talk about making our timber industry great again, we got to go back to the root of what destroyed our timber industry in the first place. Bill Clinton, liberal judges like Don Malloy out of Missoula and these radical environmental groups and the Democrats killing that industry. So that's why I was very excited to see this news. I know you and Senator Daines both sent out some posts on X. USDA Secretary Rollins rescinding the roadless rule. This is huge, not just for our timber industry, not just for public access on public lands, but also for making our timber industry great again.
This administration is decisive and action-oriented, and there's nowhere that's more refreshing to see than in our Department of Interior and Department of Agriculture, because what we're finally seeing after years of bureaucratic malaise of either this outright hostility towards common-sense industries like timber and oil and gas that fuel our economy, that build our homes, that make our cars run, we've also seen just passive-aggressive do-nothing mentalities that have allowed our forests to become overgrown and impassable, that have allowed our public lands to become tinderboxes for wildfire that literally destroy our communities, that have allowed our wildland firefighting apparatus to decay to a point where it's become ineffective and our employees and hardworking firefighters don't even get basic pay and benefits, a disgrace. So this roadless rule repeal is one of many, many steps that the administration has taken, that I am taking, to make sure we are finally bringing proper stewardship back to our public lands. And most importantly, with my expertise and background, we're bringing common sense policies back to firefighting so we can better protect our communities. This roadless rule will allow us to have more ready access to parts of these national forests that are frankly inaccessible because, as you pointed out, 30-plus years ago, we decided that we were going to, you know, let these roads get overrun and stop maintaining them. And guess what? The reality is when we have to get in there and fight a fire when it's small, we can't do it. So this is one of many steps we're taking. I had my first fire bill signed into law by President Trump a couple of weeks ago. It was the first freshman senator to get a bill signed, so I'm very proud of that. Montana should be proud of that. And that bill is focused on protecting our communities from wildfire. This is a great step. I applaud Secretary Rollins and Secretary Burgum for both of their efforts to make sure we're bringing common sense back to our public lands. Timber industry is key. Montana used to have 36 timber mills running in our state, providing good-paying jobs to many small towns like Libby and Columbia Falls. Now we have about four running, and they're all struggling to make ends meet because access to the lumber to get our board feet pushed through is just not there anymore. We used to produce 13 million board feet a year at the U.S. Forest Service leases. Now it's about 2.5. So we got to unleash that. Most of our homes are built out of wood. We should be getting our wood from America, from Montana, with Montana jobs. That'll bring down the cost of the product. It'll help us build more homes and a less expensive paradigm.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and we also got to talk about making mining in America and Montana great again as well. You mentioned Libby. We've got incredible opportunity for some high-wage jobs for everyday Montana folks, not just these remote worker folks that can move in and bring the paycheck with them, but real high-wage jobs for the Montanans that live here, that grew up here and everything. That's what making mining in Montana great again is all about. But before we get to that, you mentioned, yeah, you got this Aerial Firefighting Enhancement Act signed into law by President Trump. I mean, you're not even 40 years old yet. You're a freshman senator, and you're the first freshman senator to get actual legislation across the finish line. I know it sounds a little inside baseball-ish, but that doesn't happen very often.
I'm told it doesn't. I don't know any different. As I told Montanans, during the campaign and after I won when I got here, I said, listen, you know, whether you voted for me or not, I don't care what letter comes after your name, R, D, E, I, E, I, O, whatever it is, I'm going to work my ass off to make sure I'm pushing policies that are good for America and good for Montana. And as we've seen time and again across our state, we need common sense policies back. And wildfire is something that's close to home for all of us. The 1910 Big Burn, which happened on the Idaho-Montana border, was the first fire that woke America up that we need to learn how to fight wildfire. We did for a while, and unfortunately we lost our way. L.A. reminded everyone again, that was our new 1910 Big Burn, was L.A. this last January, and that was the opportunity to get a coalition, a broad bipartisan coalition together to fix this problem. And basically what I did was good old-fashioned shoe leather. I went to every office in this city for nice weekends, holidays, whatever it took, met with every senator, every congressman, every secretary, undersecretary, the president himself, anybody who'd listen. I said, guys, here's the problem. Here's how we can fix it. And that's why we have such a broad bipartisan coalition. This bill passed unanimously through both houses of Congress. That's pretty damn rare these days, unanimously, and was signed by the president, because me and my team and many of my partners spent the time to educate everyone as to how wrong-headed our wildfire policy and forest policies have been. People understood that. They couldn't argue with the results after Lahaina and Texas and the Camp Fire, and most importantly, L.A. Everyone said, you know what, this is pretty screwed up. It's about time we start fixing this problem. So I was proud to have such a broad base of support on that. We got several more bills to come that'll be in that same vein, and it's going to be a tremendous benefit for Montana. Primary benefit will be protecting our communities from fire first. Secondary and tertiary benefits will be unleashing our resource industries like mining and timber, because those are part of our partners to manage our public lands. And then, of course, the economic growth that comes with those, bringing jobs back to some of these communities of mine and Roundup, making sure those folks have good, stable jobs, coal strip, bringing that back online, our timber communities as well, fixing our forests so that they are not only great for recreation, they're also great for our economy.
Yeah, Senator Sheehy, I remember it was a couple years ago, I was driving past Arlee, Montana, heading to the Governor's Cup in the Flathead, and I remember seeing your super scoopers from Bridger Aerospace dive bombing, down the mountains, fighting a fire there on the edge of the Bob Marshall Wilderness, and it was just so incredible to see. Are you going to be able to get up in any of your super scoopers this summer, or are you kind of, you got the FOMO going on because you, of course, you got elected to this job, so unfortunately it took you away from a job that you really loved?
Oh, yeah, FOMO for sure. I mean, absolutely. I'd much rather be in the cockpit of Water Bomber right now. You know, there's planes. Our planes have been out since January. Planes from all over the country, all providers, all agencies have been out there risking their lives since January, from the L.A. fires all the way through, you know, the fires in Oklahoma, Minnesota, and now, of course, Alaska's burning. So, unfortunately, I won't get any stick time. I think those days are behind me, unfortunately. I hate to say that, but the reality is, I think my highest and best use is here right now, and when I'm not here, I got to raise my four kids and run the ranch. So I've got much better pilots doing that job now, and they're having all the fun.
Do you have a favorite Trump cabinet member, or who are some of your favorite Trump administration people to work with so far, other than the man himself, of course?
Yeah, well, yeah, you put me in a hard position there to pick favorites, but to be honest, I'm going to punt on that one. But we literally have so many; it's hard. I mean, Chris Wright, Secretary of Energy, has got deep ties to Montana. Doug Burgum is doing an amazing job at Interior. He's showing real decisive leadership on fire again. North Dakota governor, so you know, an honorary Montana, we'll call him. Brooke Rollins, although she's a Texan, you know, we all know Texas is Montana's south. She's doing a great job at Ag, and obviously, you know, we love what's going on at DOD with Secretary Hegseth bringing just the sheer focus on lethality and mission readiness back to the DOD. Pam Bondi is crushing it as AG. I don't know how you can argue with the job she's doing. Cash Patel at FBI, Russ Vogt at OMB. I mean, literally, it's a really cool team we have. I think Marco Rubio at State was a fantastic pick. So I hate to list them all, but to be honest, I'm super happy with this cabinet. I think they're doing exactly what the people sent them there to do. And I think compared with some of the turnover in the first Trump administration, I think V2, they've got a lot of their strategy figured out, and they are just executing at incredible speed and efficiency. It's really fun to watch and be a part of.
Yeah, what a remarkable time. I mean, if you have to be on deployment to Washington, D.C., now is the time, because you're actually getting the job done. The shackles are off. We're starting to make America great again. We're going to make our timber industry great again, our mining in Montana great again, and so much more. U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy, about a minute or so to go. Actually, no, we've still got maybe a couple of minutes here. Talk about the one big, beautiful bill. You said you do believe you can get this across the finish line by the 4th of July deadline. We're talking about, you know, no tax on tips. We're talking about funding for these deportations and so much more. But, man, the Missoula City Council, of course they don't want this to pass. They've raised taxes on their own people by like 20% already. So who would be surprised that they want to raise taxes even more?
You know, this bill's getting a lot of criticism. You know, some of our fiscal conservative base doesn't like it. You know, the left doesn't like it. You know, the reality is it's important to remember what this bill is and what it is not. This is not an appropriations bill. This is not an omnibus. This is, first and foremost, a tax bill moving through the reconciliation process. And the principal purpose of this bill is to avoid and prevent the largest tax increase in the history of mankind. I mean, $4 trillion of taxes. And this is a massive tax hike that will oppress every socioeconomic class, race, color, and creed in America. So what this bill will do is ensure that the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act 2017 stays in place. We're not cutting taxes. We are ensuring the current tax regime continues to stay in place. That's critical. It gives our businesses predictability and stability to invest in America. That's incredibly important. As you said, it's also providing key funding for things like border security and defense. As we've seen in the last few weeks, defense matters. We don't live in a Fisher-Price candy land. We live in the real world, and we have to be ready to protect ourselves and protect our country and our interests around the world. So no tax on tips, as you said, is another great component here. So this is a good bill. It ain't perfect. No one says it is, but it's the best thing we're going to be able to get done, and we got to get it done before July 4th. That's the goal. We're going to get it done.
All right, Senator Tim Sheehy, have a great 4th of July with you and your family, and hopefully you get to spend some time back on the ranch here in Montana. Appreciate having you on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right, quick break here on Montana Talks. What do you think about the conversation we just had, or do you have something else you want to talk about? Phone lines are open, 294-0970.
Mike Rowe.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, if you missed our conversation, we just got wrapped up with Senator Tim Sheehy, but yesterday I was also able to catch up with Montana Senator Steve Daines, and if you missed that conversation, here's the headline, and you can find the full audio and more. Missoula Council opposes big, beautiful bill, and laughter ensues. We were joking with Senator Steve Daines about the Missoula City Council voting against the one big, beautiful bill. So you can see that full audio on the Montana Talks website or on the Montana Talks app, or Spotify's got the podcast as well. But, you know, we talked with Senator Daines also about the one big, beautiful bill. And so after the show yesterday, one of our radio affiliates, Greg Simon, he is the general manager for KATQ Radio in Plentywood. He sent me a great message. He said, Aaron, hey, are you going to talk more about some of the pro-gun / pro-gun rights components that are also in the one big, beautiful bill? And I know we mentioned it in the House package. I know we mentioned it briefly when the whole bill moved over to the Senate side as well, but I definitely want to talk more about that. And so I said, hey, Greg, why don't you join us on the show to talk about it? So he's going to join us here in about 1 hour. In the meantime, though, that reminded me a while back. I think this was probably, let me look at the tweet here, the post on X. Let's see. Here we go. Gun Owners of America, GOA, the Gun Owners of America, great organization. They did an interview with Senator Steve Daines. Okay, this was about 9 days ago. But as I understand it, everything they talk about in this back and forth is all still in the legislation. It is all still good to go. So Senator Steve Daines explains exactly how the Senate has been working with the Gun Owners of America to repeal the NFA taxes and registration requirements on short-barreled firearms and suppressors. And so we'll talk more about this, like I say, in an hour when Greg Simon joins us on the show. But here's that back and forth with the Gun Owners of America and Senator Steve Daines.
Hey, everybody. This is Eric Pratt with Gun Owners of America. And I'm so excited today to be here with Senator Daines of Montana. And we are just so thankful for your friendship with GOA over the years and your commitment to the Second Amendment and all that you've done. And, you know, I'd just like you to give a word of encouragement to our members. You know, there was a Herculean effort in the House to defang the NFA. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reports that we got back were phones were being melted. It even got to the point where people were being hung up on, you know, or they were turning the phones off. But the message got through. And we even saw congressmen on Twitter, on X, saying, you know, support the GOA fix. Mm-hmm. Well, we got half the fix. We got the suppressors, but now we're working on short-barreled firearms and getting the Short Act into H.R. 1, the big, beautiful bill. So my question to you is, are you hopeful? Do you think that we're going to be able to get this across the finish line, getting the Short Act into the bill?
Well, Eric, first of all, thank you for all you are doing in GOA and Tim Macy's a dear friend of mine, a hunting buddy from the past. But I just got to tell the grassroots, your efforts are working. It's being heard here in Washington.
Fantastic.
When the suppressor piece came over to the Senate, but it was lacking the short piece, this is when we acted and said, we've got to put this back in the bill. The president called this the big, beautiful bill. We're going to make it a little more beautiful,
yes,
by getting the short provision into the bill. And right now, as we speak, this morning, it is in there. But this is not the time to let up. It's the time to double down. And the Second Amendment could not be clearer. Our founding fathers could not be more clear about these rights shall not be infringed. Mm. The fact that they're taxing these short barrels is an infringement on our Second Amendment rights. I've got cans on all of my rifles. I love it. Now we got to fix the short piece, which at this moment as we speak, it's in there. Let's keep the full court press. We're a couple weeks away from probably a vote on the Senate floor on the total big, beautiful bill. Let's keep up the fight.
So you're telling people to double down and keep the full court press. So what can people do? What should people be doing?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, keep the pressure on the phones. Keep the pressure on the emails. To members. It's in the Senate side at this moment, so let's keep the Senate pressure on. Assuming we keep it in the Senate bill, we'll pass it in the Senate. It'll be by the narrowest of margins, the overall bill. It'll be by one or two votes. This is absolutely going
like
to be, it's going to be a razor-thin kind of moment, and then it'll go over to the House. Assuming we keep it in the Senate bill, then once if we pass the Senate bill, the House will have to pass it. We send them, and we should be in a pretty good spot.
Well, that is encouraging news. So you heard it from Senator Daines. Keep the calls coming, 202-224-3121. Call your senator. Urge them to support the Short Act as part of H.R. 1. It's really important. We are close to being across the finish line, so please take action. Thank you for watching, and Senator, thank you so much.
Thanks,
really
sir. I appreciate your help.
All right. Yeah, it was great to see that. I know I retweeted that one a couple of weeks ago, but glad to get the reminder to continue to keep that one in our sights here as well as they approach that July 4th deadline. And yeah, in fact, Eric Pratt, who you just heard there, got to see him at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas back in January. Of course, we've seen him there for a few years in a row now. Always good to see our friends from the Gun Owners of America. They, I know they love coming back here to Montana. Let's see. We've got a caller on the phone lines. Steve says he's calling in from Los Angeles. Steve, good to hear from you. What's your thoughts?
Good morning. You know, tongue-in-cheek on the Los Angeles, but we got all kinds of problems over here. that are do not reflect the state of Montana. Anyway, regarding the NFA piece that you just ran, I need a clarification. So on the suppressor side, is that going to take it out of the Class 3 category where you can just go down to the store and buy one? I think they're removing the tax stamp from it, but I'm just wondering if it's still going to be a controlled item.
Yeah, good question. I'll have to read up a little bit further. Maybe Greg Simon will have the answer for us. Yeah, what I see here is, because I've got, there was a write-up at Ammoland.com back on June 17th. The National Association for Gun Rights is warning Congress. Gun owners are watching. They expect action. The latest draft of the Senate Finance Committee's reconciliation bill includes long overdue rollbacks of the National Firearms Act, repealing the tax on suppressors, short-barreled rifles, and short-barreled shotguns. So I'll read further there, though, during the next break to see here. But, yeah, at least the tax is being done away with. But yeah, but I think you're right. Yeah, more reform is needed there as well.
Well, I mean, it would have been nice to just, because there's no reason it's not a firearm. There's no reason for it to be sold. You know,
it's a hearing protection device. Yeah, what are we going to regulate? Well, ear protection?
I believe that the ATF just issued suppressors to all their law enforcement. So, because it's a hearing protection device.
What's good for me should be good for thee, right? Good for thee, good for me.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, no, thank you. Yeah, great question. Great question. And, yeah, this, there, and what I love about all this stuff is now that with a president like President Trump in there and with, you know, the Senate by and large backing President Trump in the House as well, that's when we get to talk about making these long overdue changes. You know, earlier we were talking about making our timber industry great again, making mining in Montana great again. We get to kind of dream big right now. With a real leader back there in Washington. Steve, thanks for the call. Phone lines are open for you as well, 406-294-0970. And we do have a bit of a busy 9 o'clock hour of the show. So if you got something you want to talk about, now is the time. Speaking about dreaming big, man, I was looking at the weather out there across most of Montana today, and I was thinking, man, today would be a great day to get out on the water. Oh, man, I think at least in my neck of the woods, it's going to be, you know, in the upper 80s and sunny. And so, yeah, maybe we could still make it happen. Oh, look at my calendar here. You know, wrap up the show at 10 and just get the heck out of Dodge, go hit the water. Hey, some of you can do the same thing. But some of you are thinking, well, Aaron, I don't have a boat yet. I know you got your pontoon from Brett's RV and Marine, but I don't have a boat or I don't have a camper. And I'd love to get out, set up a camper next to the river or out on the lake. Well, I'll tell you what, go see our friends at Brett's RV and Marine. They've been helping families go camping and boating since 1967. And, of course, the family that owns Brett's RV, born and raised in Montana, and they've got the largest selection of RVs and boats in five states. They'll give you top dollar for your trade-in if you want to trade in or trade up and get something a little bigger, whether it's a bigger camper or a little more horsepower on the boat. Yeah, you could check out their locations in Billings, Butte, and Missoula, or go to brettsrv.com, brettsrv.com. Quick break. Let's see. Where do we go next? So much to talk about here this morning on this show. I'll check the Montana Talks app messages, and you can call in right now and tell us what to talk about next. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. And looks like we've got a couple of messages in here as well. So stand by.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
But I will tell you another success is NATO has been paying 2% of the GDP for defense, and we have been picking up the vast majority of monies, and Donald Trump got commitments from every NATO ally except for Spain, and he had strong words for Spain in telling them that they're going to be punished with the most brutal tariffs they've ever seen in their life. I have a funny feeling that Spain may want to revisit that issue, and even the Secretary General of NATO thanking President Trump, you know, at the NATO summit for making Europe pay in a big way and that making Europe understand.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, believes every man, every woman who has faithfully served this country deserves to proudly fly an American flag that was made in America. And that's why Pure Talk is on a mission to give an allegiance flag, the highest quality American flag made in Charleston, South Carolina, to 1,000 veterans in time for these patriotic holidays. Just switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. Do it this month, and a portion of every sale will go to provide these high-quality flags, hand-sewn, to deserving vets. Now, with plans starting at just $25 a month for unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, you can enjoy America's most dependable 5G network, all while cutting your cell phone bill in half. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You just dial #250, say the keyword save now. Pure Talk's customer service will make the switch. #250, keyword save now, support our veterans, and switch to America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Pulino. Dolly Parton is headed back to Las Vegas for her first extended run in over 3 decades. The global icon just announced Dolly Live in Las Vegas, a limited run of shows set to take place at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace. Parton will play 6 shows from December 4th to the 13th, coinciding with the National Finals Rodeo. The highly anticipated concert event will celebrate 7 decades of Parton's music, featuring her timeless classics, marking her first extended Vegas run in over 30 years. Tickets on sale now. Tim McGraw has canceled his scheduled performance at the Professional Bull Riders' last Cowboy Standing 2-day event in Colorado in July. Cancellation is due to his ongoing recovery from back surgery. McGraw's set was scheduled for July 21st. A statement on PBR's website confirms McGraw has pulled out of the show and that Red Dirt Country Group, Cross Canadian Ragweed, will perform instead. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I saw Nancy in Roundup shared a funny post on X about an hour ago, and I think Tim and Savage shared that one with me as well here. But Nancy shared this meme. Liberals are not taking Trump's ceasefire very well. And it shows a woman screaming, he was supposed to start World War III. They're so mad that Trump's efforts are being so successful here. They were really hoping that chaos would ensue. Tim and Savage says this, Aaron, it was less than a week ago. The left was crying about a draft in World War III. And now NATO is calling Donald J. Trump daddy. What a week it has been. What a week it has been. Hey, let's go to Virgil in Belgrade on the phone lines. Virgil, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron. Thank you very much. You know, I just heard Senator Sheehy on the line. And, yes, I am here in Belgrade and actually pretty much directly across the street from Bridger Aerospace. And I'm a small business owner here. I own a barbecue food trailer here in Belgrade.
Ooh.
And I want to give a shout-out to the mechanics of Bridger Aerospace and even to the B-2 bombers. You know, I mean, there's an underlying group of people that don't often get recognized. And those mechanics come and support my small business here in Belgrade. And I'm very, very grateful for that. So thank you to all the people that, you know, that shine behind the scenes.
That's right. It's that reminds me of you know, SecDef Pete Hegseth. He described every single soldier, sailor, airman, marine, space force, you name it, that it takes to actually pull off these operations. And you know, we had a mechanic call in on the show yesterday who talked about that as well. And
mm-hmm.
What's your barbecue joint? I got to check it out one of these days.
Well, it's Sheridan's Barbecue, and I'm parked right outside of Madison River Brewery, right on Frontage Road in Belgrade. And I've got a huge smoker on the back, and I specialize in tri-tip, pulled pork, brisket, and my specialty is Virgil's famous baby back pork ribs, Aaron.
Oh,
and you
man.
Won't have a, you know, I buy the thick back ribs. They're meaty, they're juicy, And the gold socks that I put on them, they're to die for. So
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. That's all I'm thinking. Now I'm getting hungry. I'm going to have to eat some protein chips here during the break. Well, and then I got to stop at the Black Pot Distillery there and pick up a little beverage to go with it, too. They just go together so nicely.
That's another favorite stop of mine as well. So, yeah, thank you for that.
All right. Hey, great to hear from you, Virgil. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for giving a shout-out to those great mechanics that keep those birds in the air, fighting those fires, protecting lives, protecting homes, protecting land, and more. That was great. And supporting local businesses. Monty in Bozeman, what's on your mind, Monty?
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, Trump is a very intelligent and successful president. And if somebody hasn't already told him that Iran cannot be negotiated with because they simply have one lifelong ambition, and that is to wipe out Israel and us. So they can only be managed. There's no negotiating with them.
Oh, yeah, I think he knows that. I think he's eyes wide open when dealing with the terrorists in Tehran.
He's got such a great group of people around him now. Man, it can only be good for the future. And with all the stupid things the left-wing Democrats are doing, that's only good for the future of the Republicans staying in office.
Yeah, I mean, look at this New York City mayoral candidate, the Democrat mayoral candidate. I mean, a left-wing radical Islamic nut job who just wants to undermine the United States of America across the board. But then again, he sounds like somebody who could easily get elected to the Bozeman City Commission or the Missoula City Council.
Yeah, that's sad for Montana.
It is. It is. Yeah.
Enjoy your program. Have a great day.
Hey, thanks, Monty. It's an honor. It's an honor to know you're listening and that you enjoy it. Thanks so much for calling in. It's the phone calls that really make this show. Hey, we're going to dissect the fake news media in Montana and who is funding some of these fake news outlets. Wait till you hear the guests that are joining us in the next hour. Stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Even if the imposition of the highest tariffs in almost 100 years were good economic policy, which manifestly they are not, the way in which they've been rolled out is poisonous to the global economic growth that has powered prosperity for going on three decades. At their heart, they undermine the very thing that has made America a good place to invest, and that is the predictability of our laws and institutions. The new tariffs are not a law, far from it. They're a creative interpretation of executive power in exactly the same sense as the Biden administration's multiple attempts to forgive hundreds of billions of dollars of student loan debt were. They are as unpredictable as the actions taken by another activist administration of an earlier era, FDR, during the Great Depression. And tragically, they will likely produce the same outcome, the fatal hesitation of investors and risk-takers to commit to actions that ultimately spark economic growth. When policies change on a whim, it's rational to sit on your hands for a while. It's also a recipe for an economic shipwreck. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.